Army Hammer. Boy, they're canceling him like he's the MLB All-Star game. Mouse that kills other mice.
Yeah, it's like a pig eating bacon. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense.
You remember that restaurant on Roswell Road, Ribs, etc.?
Yes.
They used to have on the walls, kids could draw. You know, they gave them crayons and shit, and they could draw, and they would hang them on the wall. The one that I always loved was some kid drew a conveyor belt, and on the conveyor belt were smiling pigs, and on the other end of the conveyor belt were ribs. And a little kid drew it.
That little kid grew up to be Army Hammer.
Yeah. So you were asking me what, Steph, about the mouse that...
No, I was just wondering if you had seen that mascot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the XXX Terminator. It looks cool. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they're just... they enlist the help of their people.
Yeah, that mouse
lure them in.
George Soros. You know, you have to look that joke up. I'm not going to explain it. But yeah, he is a mouse that kills mice and rats. And he's just basically a traitor so he could live and be on billboards and get all that sweet mascot money. Fucking mouse. Doesn't care about his brethren. Speaking of which, we had an ant infestation in our bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Dustin probably knows that's hard to get rid of.
Those little ants. So I went to Walmart and I got the liquid... ant bait, and I put it down, and then about an hour or two later I went back into the bathroom and there were thousands of them crawling in and out of that thing. And then this morning I went in and there were no ants, just a bunch of them dead in the thing. How long will that last, Dustin?
Well, they won't come back anymore if there's not a water source. That's what they're looking for.
Really?
Looking for water. Yeah. But that will kill them, and it probably killed their pheromone line that led all the rest of them in. So when they left, they probably won't come back there. They might come back another place. Best thing to do is get some stuff and do the perimeter of the house, just like around the like granular stuff, and you can spread it just literally around the base of the house, and it'll keep them from coming in.
See, pest control. You don't get that for free on a lot of podcasts.
You don't, and they don't. You always need to make sure you don't have any leaves. Right around the edges of your house.
Why?
Well, you don't want things that'll. You can have a barrier, but you need to make sure that there's a. Like, you don't want leaves. You don't want mulch up against the house. But if you've got a plastic barrier underneath the bed, that's fine. But you don't want it there, because anytime you try to treat something, they have areas underneath they can get through. It's almost like a bridge.
What you probably don't want to mention the company you work for, but you do pest control.
I do pest control as part of my job with a company that I do. We do tree and shrub and lawn fertilization and everything else. So yeah, the guy that wakes everybody up in the morning and spraying stuff on people's lawns. But yeah, I do tree and shrub, and we also do. And I do with tree and shrub. I do pest control now.
Oh, you need to come over and give me a quote then.
I can do
need all three of that. All right. Nobody wants to hear about my problems.
I swear by having a pest control. We've had it ever since we moved into this house. We were here for about 2 months, and I opened up the closet and I thought that it was a house shoe, but it was a spider. And we called them out, and that was it. They come out every 3 months. I don't say I would never see shit in here.
Caitlin and I are our pest control guy. Oh, well, our pest control method is prayer. It hasn't worked.
Is it true that you swallow 36 spiders a year?
Pardon?
Is it true that you swallow 36 spiders a year in your sleep?
I don't think the number's that high. But yes, you do swallow a number of them.
How?
Yeah, I don't think it's that many. They crawl in your mouth. They crawl on your body while you're sleeping.
Why? Don't tell me that.
I swallow like 9 or 10 of them while I'm awake, just so I won't swallow so many when I'm asleep.
You swallow microscopic tadpoles, but you do that when you're awake, voluntarily in a basement someplace.
Hey, Steph, what's up with that mug? Chipping Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jack, look at it. It's so busted. Well, I'm running the dishwasher right now, so all of the good cups, all the ones that we fight over, are in the dishwasher.
Oh, you're speaking of which, we got our dishwasher. Our kitchen's done.
Congrats.
We have a dishwasher and a new stove. We haven't had a dishwasher ever. We've lived here for 4 years.
So are you kidding me?
No, we had, when we moved in, the people that owned the house before us left their, you know, the portable dishwasher, the one you push on wheels. And we used it once, but it's a pain in the ass. Mm. You know, it fills your sink with dirty shit. But we got it. We got these new quartz countertops, and we got a refrigerator with an ice thing in it. I'm so happy because I love ice. But I'm an ice guy. I have to have cold drinks. But no, it's exciting. I mean, I never thought I'd be excited about appliances. I'm like, as long as it cooks. I'm like one of those people that would let his kitchen get. I mean, Jeff knows. I would let my kitchen, you know, just grow mold on shit. I mean, it's how I grew up.
Caitlin has completely domesticated you, and that's good. That's a good thing.
Well, I wouldn't call it that. I mean, got to be another term for it. Civilized, maybe.
You can come over and do my dishes. My dishwasher's broken. They ordered me a new one. They said it's going to be a month.
A month?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A shortage because of the pandemic.
Yeah. Stuck in the Suez Canal. Your dishwasher's in the Suez Canal. All right, enough of the. This isn't the home fix it podcast. This is. Well, but speaking of pests, sometimes your house gets infested with pests. Sometimes the world gets infested with gigantic pests known as titans. So I wanted to start off talking about Godzilla and King Kong, or Godzilla versus King Kong, and see if you guys watched it and what you thought of it.
I want to hear what Dustin thought of it because he texted me after he watched it and said he hated it.
Oh no. I want to hear about this. Weird, because I liked it, but
I liked it a lot too.
Steph, you didn't see it, right?
I've not seen it yet, but that's why I was like, I'm sure the plot is not going to be a problem for me. So just you guys go for it. All right. Just wanting to see the fights.
Dustin, did you make popcorn?
Did I make popcorn? Yes.
Okay, because I made popcorn and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
So what? I didn't make popcorn, but I liked it also. What is popcorn? Oh, did you make it? Okay, never mind.
Well, first thing I found out was I need to make a retraction from last show. This was not directed by Garrett at Edward. It's Garrett directed by Adam Wingard.
Okay.
So it was a different guy. The Adam Wingard is the, and I know who that is. It was the guy that made that movie VHS a few years ago, the independent movie that did so well. But they also gave
great.
They also he did The Guest. He did the remake of Blair Witch Project. That was out a few years ago, The Year Next.
Was that good?
Year Next was pretty good. The remake of Blair Witch was not.
I didn't see it. Yeah, Blair Witch, I mean, on second, if you watch Blair Witch now, it isn't as good as it was when it came out. Because, you know, A, you're not shocked, but B, it's just like, okay, stop moving the fucking camera. We get it.
Well, yeah, everybody did it so much that it's, you know, you can't really, it's like watching The Matrix. You know, everybody did the bullet time afterwards. So it looks, makes it mean. But he also did Death Note, which I did like. But you know, this one, I thought it was, first off, the whole beginning with King, and this is going to be some spoilers for everyone just while we're talking about it. I'll try not to do, you know, all of them, but
spoilers for Godzilla versus Kong. Spoiler.
The beginning, I didn't really care for. I didn't like right off the bat King Kong's morning routine that with music. It just seemed a little.
His morning routine is like shit and shave and like a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, gets up, goes, takes a shower, you know, goes and pesters the people that are holding him on the island in this giant dome. And which makes, I mean, which following the storyline does make sense why he didn't show up in King or the Godzilla King of the Monsters when all the other Titans, you know, were merging. You know, he had been trapped in this giant biodome over a section of Skull Island, and they've did monarchs been monitoring him, you know, all these years since the movie.
Since him and Polly Shore.
But the, I mean, everything, it was kind of like they had a lot of story to get through, and it seemed very all the cuts were real quick. I mean, he was on the island. He was being taken somewhere.
Everything, yeah, that was weird when he's on the island. All of a sudden, he's on the boat.
Yeah, and with no explanation or showing how they did it. The scale bothered me once he got on the boat. I mean, the size that he was in Skull Island versus, I mean, granted, aircraft carriers are massive. I've been on one. They're huge. But for both of them to be fighting on one just kind of diminishes the size of both of them. So scale for me was completely off.
Right.
And ultimately,
Godzilla should be able to pick up an aircraft carrier like out of the ocean with his hand, right?
Right. Not use it as a swimming dock, you know, which is what they were doing. It was like two kids fighting on a swimming dock in the middle of the summer.
Right.
One of them can't swim and is staying on there. And the other one is, you know, pestering him. And, you know, so the special effects were great. I think that trailer that they put out of that actual fight was the best looking polished piece was there. All of the other fights and what I've been thinking about since I watched it was whether it was planned to try to look, you know, 50s kitschy about I almost threw up when it looked like there was two guys fighting in suits. Wow. And that's what it looked like, because there was no, you know, when something is massive, the way to relay that it's massive is to the speed of which it moves.
Yes.
And they didn't do that in this. I mean, they're moving real time. And when you make something that large in a setting move real time, it looks fake.
Yeah.
Or it looks like a man in a suit. So that was really, you know, every time they would fight in a city, it just seemed like a bad, you know, Power Rangers episode. I mean, its special effects look good when you get down to specifics, but overall, it just seemed a little hokey.
Hmm. That whole city fight, that the entire time I'm just thinking, there's another 10,000 people dead.
Yeah, me too.
And there's another 10,000 people dead.
And how much is it going to cost to rebuild the city? That building, and wow, that was a cool building. But yeah, like 10,000, and he's just stepping on shit and throwing the buildings at him.
And it was supposed
to be
five.
Did you ever think about that when you were a kid? Did you ever think about any of that?
No, the more you get, the better when you're a kid. Hey, I got 20 with one step.
I know.
I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
You didn't like Mechagodzilla?
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, no. God.
I knew when he saw that. When he saw the podcast guy, when he snuck in and saw what was going on, and he saw that pink orb,
I knew
at that point, okay, right? It's going to be Mechagodzilla, because that's either his eye or his brain, one of the two. And then, you know, again, spoilers, for it to be thrown in there that it's tied together with the Hydra from the last.
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
The Hydra. Yeah, that was... I don't know. It was like they just swung for the fences with the goofy technology and all the far-fetched stuff. You know, the Hollow Earth was neat. It looked great. The whole reversal of gravity thing, you know, having two grounds, one on the ceiling and one on the actual ground.
Did you say you didn't like that, or you did?
I thought it was, it didn't, where was the sunlight coming from? The whole place is lit like it's daytime, but there's ground above you and there's ground below you and there's no sky.
All right. The concept you got to admit was cool. Right.
No, yeah, that's what I meant. The idea is very neat, but just how they pulled it off, it seemed like it was two or three movies in one movie. It was just like there was so much going on with everything. But yeah, I mean, I really kind of gave up when Kong is inside the earth and he screams, and Godzilla's on the surface of the earth and he hears him scream.
That's not, no. He Godzilla sensed the energy coming from the
temple thing. Yeah. And so he happens to be right above it, exactly above where he's at, and then blasts a hole between his legs into the ground. All the way to Middle Earth, right in the same room, so that they can both look up and look at each other and look down and look at each other. I was like, Okay. And once I kind of gave up, I mean, it was, I don't know. I thought there would be, because the other movies had a little more reality to them.
Yeah.
You know, they were, you know, either the way they looked or, you know, the technology that was there, the military movements, you know, everything kind of had some basis in reality. This was just like the swinging for the fences. You know, they didn't really care if you could figure it out or if it made sense, which, you know, those movies are historically that way. And this is probably the first one that is that way. The other ones have maybe been too real.
Well, the other ones, let me interrupt you for a second. Yes. The other ones had more human plot elements and more story wrapped around the humans. I think this one wisely cut a lot of that shit. There were, like, I took some notes, some characters that I liked, and there are three characters I liked out of all of them. I liked Bernie Hayes, who's the podcast guy, and that was Brian Tyree Henry.
That's Paperboy from Atlanta.
Yeah, from Atlanta. Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
He's such a great actor.
Yeah, he was fantastic in this. I mean, he, to me, was the best character in the entire thing. Nathan Lind, who is Alexander Skarsgård, I thought that character was cool. It's not like him to play a role like that, so I thought he did an okay job. And I liked Gia, who was Kaylee Hoddle. She was the deaf girl who was able to communicate with Kong. I thought that was an interesting thing. The two that I found most annoying, and you guys can jump off of this too, Josh, the fat kid that hung out with Millie Bobby Brown, that actor's name is Julian Dennison. Madison, Millie Bobby Brown's character, didn't care about her and her dad. Who
did you like that sex scene with Millie Bobby Brown and Godzuki?
I did. That was pretty cool. I was shocked by that. But it was, yeah, it was pretty hot. Godzilla,
Stranger Things.
And then my least favorite character was the most stereotypical character, I thought, in the whole film was Maya, who's Isa Gonzalez. Thought that character, you know, she's the, I'm in charge here. This is my dad's company. And you just knew that they were going to kill her. And when she dies, and we are hopefully going to have spoiler alert on the video. I'll put it in the notes too. But when she dies, yes, thank God this character is not on the show in this movie anymore.
I like her though as a person.
Oh yeah, I don't. But the character was terrible. I mean, that's all writing.
She was Santanica on the From Dusk Till Dawn series that they had a couple of years back.
Now I gotta watch that. If you say it's really, really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I mean, I like that Julian Dennison. He's a cool actor. He was in the Hunt for the Wilder People. That he's a Kiwi.
Was he the main bad guy?
No, the kid.
Josh.
Yeah, Bobby Brown.
Yeah. That character was so annoying.
He was also in Deadpool. He was
the second one, right?
Yeah, the second one. He was the kid they were going after. I mean, great actor, but yeah, it seemed like, I don't know, a lot of roles in this seemed like they were filled as like favors. You know what I mean? Yeah. They just cherry picked these people. And it's funny because it's almost like the list they chose from was probably when they started making it a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it was like the hot people of, you know, then. And then by the time it comes out, I mean, it's been 2018 was right. Probably, I mean, it's been, they've been working on this movie for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had fun watching it though. I just made some popcorn, shut my brain off, and I just enjoyed it. I wasn't thinking too deeply about it.
Yeah, I tried not to go into it with an overly critical view, and Dustin though just watched all the old ones. Yeah, you know? Yeah. So that's fresh in your mind as well, so you're thinking, God, those were so much better to me. Yeah,
well, that was, yeah, they were in my head, and so I was kind of in that mindset of where's it going to go next. But I thought it, you know, it was supposedly 5 years after the last movie, so yeah. Or the last attack, so in, you know, And that destroyed, if you remember, everything, like Washington, D.C. was completely, yeah, you know, gone, then New York and Boston. So it just seemed like everything was a little too up and running very smoothly for the half of the world to be destroyed 5 years previous.
Turns out all it takes is a bunch of guys in Buffalo hats invading the Capitol to destroy this. Not a giant lizard. I thought the fight scenes, you said they did kind of, they were kind of lumbering, but I liked them. I thought they were cool. I like that you could see their up close facial expressions, like Godzilla, yeah. And he's laughing when he beats the shit out of Kong. And then I got that, like, you remember that feeling you had when you were watching wrestling in the 80s and there was a heel who would turn to a face in the ring, you know, he'd help the guy that he'd been fighting for months, or, you know, in that whole, you know what I mean? He'd that tingly thing. Oh, Jimmy Snook is good now. Oh, you know, and that's when King Kong started fighting to help Godzilla. I thought that was cool. The other thing I like that I took away, it's just a small thing, but King Kong has an axe, and that axe is a scale, or one of the back pieces from one of the spinal fins, actually, from a Godzilla-like creature. And apparently the mythos is that these two creatures are of a races of titans that live in the middle of the earth and end up fighting each other, and they've had 1,000 years of history with each other. So, but now they're friends. They're friends because they're friends. That's why. And then, yeah, and to your point, Dustin, it was kind of stupid that they go to the middle of the earth and set up an observatory. How the fuck is there air there? And yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, but I don't care. It was still fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably give it another watch here in a week or so and just, you know, try to look at it differently. But yeah, I think that was my problem. I'd kind of set myself up for failure by watching all the others.
Wasn't overly long, and you're like, you know, less humans. That's the thing. All right. Now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year. So let's just say the first year, and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Euro. Serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
We all went out there when they opened. Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly. Oh, okay. I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. Okay. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I noticed that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at atlantapizzaeuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google, as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out, and that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, if you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime.
Tell us about he should.
Backpacks and shit, and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right, so if you haven't seen it yet, sorry. We told you there were spoilers. But if you have, let us know what you think on Facebook and Twitter, because we would like to respond. Let's see. We do have our new T-shirt, our our Blockumentary t-shirt, which kind of looks like the Blockbuster logo. You can get that on our storefront here page, and the link will be in the show notes, whether you're watching this or listening to it. Speaking of watching it on YouTube, Dustin runs our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Radio Labyrinth Podcast. If you're a listener and you don't watch it, but you have YouTube, please go to YouTube and just hit subscribe. That's all you got to do. You don't have to watch it if you don't want. I mean, I wouldn't want to look at me either, but it does help us. And we want to get as many as subscribers as we can. Our goal is to get 1,000, and that would be really, really awesome. Plus we, and they're not in here. I left them out in the living room, but I got a roll of stickers today. So I'll make sure you guys all get some stickers.
Yeah. I want some stickers.
And yeah, they came out looking really cool. They had a special on Sticker Mule, so I got them. So I want to say, anybody who signs up for Patreon, in the next new Patreon members who sign up in the next couple of weeks, we'll get a free sticker, a whole bunch of them, actually, because I got a bunch. And we'll just drop them in the mail to you with a thank you card. If you come in as a producer, though, which is $25, you get a T-shirt of your choice from our T-shirt store that we'll have sent to you. Please follow us on Twitter @radio_labyrinth, or join the Radio Shack, which is where all the cool people hang out who listen to the podcast, on Facebook. So it's Facebook. Is there a direct link to that, Dustin?
You can go to the Radio Labyrinth page on Facebook, mm-hmm. and right underneath it says groups. You can hit groups and we're right there. There's a link for it right there.
Awesome. I'm starting to get back into Facebook, by the way, interacting with people and posting stuff, because I found, and I don't know about you guys, but I found that there's about 97% less politics and arguing going on, at least on my feed. I don't know about yours, but then if you open up Twitter, and that's 100% people fighting about stupid stuff. But Twitter, you can interact with people. I'm not Twitter, but Facebook. I'm finding it to be a little more fun. Am I wrong?
No. When I made the original Radio Shack, I specifically put in there no politics, just because that, for that reason, you know, I liked everything. You know, there's a lot more fun that we have on the podcast. And at the time that, you know, you guys would talk about, you know, without bringing the politics into it. So yeah. I always kind of prefaced it with that. So, and it's kind of held. So, you know, I don't kick people for, you know, talking about it or anything. So people just on their own, you know it's a place they can just, you know, say what they want to say. And it's a private group. So, you know, your family don't see it if you post stuff that's a little, you know, a little blue, which we get sometimes. So that's why, you know, I wanted it to be a safe place for everybody to just to joke around, just like you joke around on the show.
Yeah. And if we say something ignorant and dumb, like me, somebody can go in the shack and let you know that you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
What did you say that was intimate and dumb?
Well, I don't know the comic book history as I should. You know, Rob Kearns corrected me today on, totally appreciate. Love Rob Kearns. He's the great grill master. Everyone knows this. And he just basically said that the whole bit with the one black super soldier, that was in the comic book years ago, that there was like 300 of them and there was only like one left.
John Roberts, right?
Right. So it was a part of the comic book. It wasn't just a part of just the wokeness thing, you know.
Well, he became,
I just assume because they put it right together with the thing that happened afterwards in the street, that it was like one big long wokestress.
Didn't he become Captain America in the like 90s?
Yeah, there was a time. I thought it was a throwback. He was actually, they wanted him to be Captain America once Captain America was missing for a long time.
But I mean, this is before the movies. I'm talking about in the 90s era comic books. I have a, there was somebody, and I can't remember if it was then or it might have been the 2000s, but I know it was long before the movies came out, and I can't remember. But anyway, but you know, it was cool. You know, same thing as it was cool when Rhodey took over for Iron Man in 1985. So anyway, I think I took your point in the wrong direction, Steph. I'm sorry. I'm tired.
Yeah, my point was just that you can go in the Radio Shack and tell us about ourselves, and we see it.
Oh, yeah. Isaiah Bradley was the character that was the black Captain America, and that was in 2003.
Yeah, see? And that was cool. It was like, holy shit. And you know, it was doubly cool. One, for that angle, but two, a new character is playing Captain America. They did have a storyline in the 80s where Captain America retired, somebody took over, and he ended up being an asshole. I think over a while it might have been the Punisher. I don't know. That might have been a what if, but that was a cool what if. What if the Punisher had become Captain America? Running around with a red, white, and blue gun killing people. And then Steve Rogers came back as like Captain, you know, Freedom or something, and he had a different outfit and a different shield. It all blends together for me because I don't have any of those comic books anymore. But it'd be nice if I did. You know, I wish I still had my Todd McFarlane ones. Before we get to some news stories and stuff that's going on, a couple people died, and you know, we'll mention them. But the one I want to bring up first is G. Gordon Liddy. If you guys remember who that is, did you remember who he was, Dustin?
I only remembered him from you guys talking about you guys had, before you guys had mentioned it on here.
Oh shit!
You didn't remember the talk show?
Once I saw the pictures, but
pre-Jerry Springer.
Yeah, and it was along those lines. It was the precursor for that kind of stuff. But it seemed very familiar. But it was something either it was just off my radar or maybe a few years
ahead of me. Too young, maybe.
Yeah. He's very bald.
Yes, he was always bald. And that big thick mustache,
mm-hmm. Like a push broom.
Yeah. You look like a little guy at the end of cartoons who used to sweep and had the big mustache. You know what I'm talking
about. He was the one that was on Miami Vice, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. He had a radio show too, where he would talk to people, and it was a political talk show. He was a competitor to Rush Limbaugh, and he was on a lot of stations that in the 90s, Infinity Broadcasting owned CBS Radio. Howard Stern was always the anchor in the morning, and it was followed by G. Gordon Liddy. And so Howard would have him on and talk to him and promote him because he wanted to beat Rush Limbaugh. And that was kind of funny to listen to his show. He would talk to people about this and that, and he could talk about anything. There's a couple of great pop culture references when it comes to G. Gordon Liddy that aren't Miami Vice or Watergate or that kind of shit. But there's a prank phone call that you can find on YouTube if you type in Crackhead Bob G. Gordon Liddy. And these conservative radio hosts always do shows from Israel, and they'll come with us and take the boat, you know, like Jeff would go on the cruise with the Practical Jokers. This is a bunch of right wing talk radio hosts going to Israel. So, you know, and touring the holy sites, which is cool. But they always do these shows. And so they had Howard's prank call people use Crackhead Bob clips. Called into the show, got through, and said that his name is Bob, and he was captured by Al Qaeda, and that's why he talks that way. So it's pretty. You can find it. And then what was the other thing I was going to say? I forgot. See, this is why my brain is just dead. It must have been a long week. I got my COVID shot. I'm blaming it on the COVID shot.
How's your arm?
My arm hurt like hell the day after, but it wasn't as bad as
tetanus shot.
Tetanus shot. No, tetanus shots hurt longer. But I got the Moderna, there's tons of pollen in the air, and I have terrible allergies. So any sniffle or trickle in my throat or a cough, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get it now. No.
Why would you get it now?
Well, I only had half the vaccine, so I'll get half of COVID. I'll just get the cove, not the id. Or would it be cuh? I don't know. I can't figure it out. I'm trying to think of that. What was that other fucking G. Gordon Liddy thing? Okay, there's lots of cultural things I was talking about. But anyway, we've already told the story. Go ahead.
You yelled that he was a Nazi, Adam.
Yeah, I think, but like Dustin said, we've already told this story. Yeah. But if you're new and you don't know this story, in 1988, Jeff and I were both big fans of Abby Hoffman, who was a Yippie, and he was involved in the Chicago protests of 1968, the Democratic National Convention. And we thought he was cool, right? And I still think he was cool, but he was a funny, you know, street performer type of whatever. But he and G. Gordon Liddy were doing a thing where they debated the CIA's role in Central America. I know. So Jeff's 18, I'm 17, and pretty highfalutin shit, but we wanted to go meet Abby Hoffman. And so we drove up to Ithaca College, which is in Ithaca, New York, and we paid whatever it was. First, I made Jeff take me to Sam Goody so I could buy Now and Zen, the just released Robert Plant album. I think he probably bought it for me too. Hey, can you loan me the money that I'm never going to pay you back? Anyway,
I'm in the mood. Yes, I'm in the mood.
No, Now and Zen was Tall Cool One. It was the one where he finally re-acknowledged, or he acknowledged that he was in Led Zeppelin. And Jimmy Page played guitar on a couple songs. It was a big deal, you know, back then if you were a Zeppelin. Yeah, they're getting back together. They didn't. Well, they did Page and Plant.
So the Honey Drippers' greatest hits.
Oh, yeah. So Jeff drove up and we took, you know, the Aerostar van and the glorious catalytic converter, if you remember that wonderful smell. Do you remember that, Jeff? You'd drive that for a little bit and then the egg smell would hit you.
Yep.
Yep. But it was a cool van. And so we drove up there and we watched them do the debate. And then they had a Q&A line. So I was like, I'm going to ask a question. I wore some stupid tie-dye shirt. Yeah, I'm all hippie and, you know, 60s. And so I get in the line and I wait and wait and wait and wait. And I think I'm the last question. Everybody asks legitimate questions of both of them. I get up there and I go, you, sir, are a Nazi. And I gave him the Sieg Heil, the swastika, you know, not the swastika, but I gave him the Sieg Heil, the arm salute. And I'm like,
such a rebel.
And I'm yelling about Bill Moyer said in his documentary that the CIA is involved and blah, blah, blah. And the moderator went, do you have a question? I said, no. And the crowd booed me. And so, you know, it is what it is. But the cool thing was you got to stay around and you got to get a post. You know, if you had, Jeff and I each had a poster and you got to get their autograph. So we waited in line. No one was waiting in line for G. Gordon Liddy. You just walk up and you'd say, there you go. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Here you go.
It was a poster of Abbie Hoffman.
Both of them. It was their pictures on the poster. And it was the poster for the event.
Oh, okay.
And then Abbie Hoffman's like, everybody, I want to go drink a beer. Where's the bar? Where's the bar? And but we got his autograph, too. And then me, like a dunce, when I didn't have any money, I sold it on eBay and I'll never get it back. Mm-mm. Now they're both gone. You know, Abby went a lot sooner. G. Gordon Liddy.
I have a signed copy of Steal This Urine Test. I'll sell you.
Don't you still have the poster that was signed or did you lose
it? I don't know where the poster is.
Yeah. No, I wanted to, I shouldn't have sold it. I'm such a dope. And I also put a peace. I drew a peace. I was fucking drunk one night and drew a peace sign over Abby in a magic marker. So I ruined it anyway. But somebody bought it. So there you go.
You really were a liberal big time.
I still am a liberal about a lot of things. Just I don't care. So you fast forward in 1997, I'm at a radio convention. The National Association of Broadcasters did these conventions and my company went there. And so our buddy Stu that we've talked to before on here, he and I worked for the same company. I set up the whole booth. I rented the TV monitors, the real cool, you know, you stack nine of them and you program them. And I'm in New Orleans and it's great. And we're having fun. And then one day we're walking around the convention center and G. Gordon Liddy has a booth because he was promoting his radio show. So I went up to him and said, hi, I really enjoyed listening to your radio show. Because even though I wasn't right wing, I still listened to talk radio and he did a good show. He's a good broadcaster. You know, much like Rush was, even if he couldn't agree with him, he still did a good show. But I went up to him and I said, you know, I saw you debate Abbie Hoffman in 1988. Oh, yeah. I said, yeah. And he goes, what did you think? I said, well, at the end of it, I called you a Nazi and I just wanted to apologize. I said, you an apology accepted, young man. Thank you. And then another that night, of course, when you're in New Orleans and it's nighttime, what do? You drink and you're young. So we went out and got smashed. I was totally shit faced. I mean, we went to all these bars. At one point, I threw up. We were at the place that sells the hurricanes. I threw up and came back, finished my hurricane and kept drinking.
Didn't you see James Carville?
That's what I was going to say. Stu and I are crossing the street and this is 2 a.m. James Carville and his wife are, you know, she's the conservative when, you know, they were the it couple and they're crossing the street. And I went, well, look at who it is, James Carville. And he goes, hello. He just kept walking. You know, this scrunched up little evil face. Hello.
He's so hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looks like an insect. Then he looks like Zorak.
He looks like the Six Flags guy.
Yes, he does. He's the one that said, you could drag a dollar bill through a trailer park and find someone with more credibility than
you would.
Paula Jones. That's what you get when you drag a dollar bill through a park, through a trailer park.
He's an alligator. He's got all them teeth and no toothbrush.
Yes, right. He got all them teeth. Yes, but yeah, his pinched up face. Yeah. God, you know who he actually looks like? He looks exactly like Ultron looked in the comic books when they first came out with him. You can find that with that jagged smile. So that's the Jigo and Liddy story. I'm sorry that we've told it twice, but I wish I could.
Rest in peace, Jigo and Liddy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was involved in Watergate and blah, 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 blah.
I think it's pretty cool. Alan Moore, the guy that created The Watchmen,
yeah,
wrote the comic. He actually created the character of the comedian that got thrown through the window.
Oh, yeah?
That the comedian character was based on G. Gordon Liddy.
I did not know that. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Except for, you know, he wasn't bald, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But Liddy orchestrated the entire break-in, and so that's interesting. If you read up on him, he had an interesting life. He was in the military. There's always that story. He put a candle under his hand and held it there, and he goes, "This is what you have to do. You ignore the pain." I don't know how true that is, but it's in his book. Anyway, so yeah, rest in peace, Jigo and Liddy. We might as well do the other person who died. Jeff, who is it?
Larry McMurtry.
And he is an author, right?
Yeah, he wrote like Lonesome Dove, Terms of Endearment, The Last Picture Show.
Wow, that's pretty prolific writing career, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, rest in peace, Larry McMurtry. So you want to do some stories, Dustin?
Sure. Let's see. Looks like American Gods is going to be canceled on Stars after this season. It could still bring it back for a movie to close. That hadn't been taken off the table yet, but looks like there's going to be no more seasons. And I stopped after the first one. Did you guys still watch it?
I didn't watch it.
I watched all the way through season three, and season three was a lot better than the first two seasons.
Really?
Yeah. Cause I think they took like a hiatus between season two and season three, and they came back and just had a lot of creative energy and Shadow Moon, that guy that Steph hates. I forget what his name is, but he had hair in season three. So
do you still hate Walter Goggins, Steph?
Never hated him. Why do you say horrible things like that?
You used to call him ass eyes.
It doesn't mean I hate him. There's a lot of people that I think are crazy looking, and I think they're wonderful.
Oh, okay. That was just descriptive.
All right. Ass eyes is a term of endearment.
He has a very Kentucky-ish close-eyed look.
Okay. Just check. He's
got narrow eyes.
I'd wonder what he'd look like with his original teeth and no hair plugs. Carvel.
Neil Gaiman says he wants to do something to wrap it up, like a movie or a limited, you know, two or three episode thing. But so far, no takers on a network or anything.
The first season to me was up and down. Yeah. I kept watching it. It was visually captivating. I guess that's probably what kept me into it. But most of the point is because it had cocksucker swear engine in it.
Ian McShane, yeah, he was great in season three.
He was good in that NBC show that came out that went away after a while. The one about the kingdom, you know, the two kingdoms that were fighting each other with modern weaponry, but he was the king. Was it called Kings?
Yeah, I think, or Kingdom or something.
Yeah, but he's good in anything. I love it.
I just want to say, you know, because I am rewatching Deadwood, and I forgot that William died, the little boy. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Deadwood, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He really messed me up. And Neil kept saying, you know, the kid's going to die in this one. I was like, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. He's like, I'm telling
Bullock's
you.
Bullock's son and the bicycle?
Yes. Yeah. The horse ran over him.
Yeah.
And, and Swearingen, you know how he is. He's so hard. Yeah, he wouldn't go to the funeral, but he watched from the balcony. And then he ran and hid because he didn't want his guys to know that he was actually watching. And then you find out at the end, whenever he's forcing that, is his tender blowjobs with that whore. He would always make her. He's just so violent with it, but he's talking about all the sad things while she's doing it. And he said to her, "So was it? How was it down there?" And she was like, "It was not. It was sad, but it was also nice." And he's like, "Shut it!" And just puts her head back there, and he goes, "Did you color your hair?"
Shut it! What a great. That show's
shut it.
That show's probably the best written show of our lifetime.
I 100% agree. I feel every single episode, I'll probably watch it all again. Mm-hmm. Because it is so well written. But anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go all off track. I just love Swearingen so much. I think he's one of the greatest characters ever written in the history of television.
I agree. No one's going to disagree with you.
Unless they're stupid. Since Schitt's Creek is done, you can actually, they put the motel up on the market. So you could purchase and live in the Schitt's Creek motel.
I would love that.
You got $1.6 million. It's yours.
That's it? Gosh. I'm going to go get a loan.
Mm-mm-mm. Does it say Rosebud up there? Is it the Rosebud Motel?
I'm sure they've probably taken down all of the descriptors. Mm. Most of the set people do that for everything before they leave.
I love roadside motels. I'm a big roadside motel person.
There's still a bunch of them,
like old school ones.
Yeah, like on the highway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no pool, just a strip.
I don't want to sleep in them. I just like looking at them, like for their kitschy artistic value. But no, I do not want to sleep in them. I just like them to be there.
Just know that there's still some.
Yeah, just to know they're still there. Like there's a place in Michigan, the guy is selling it right now. It's called the Terrace Motel, and it's in the UP, in the UP. And it's a place where in the wintertime you can only get around up there by snowmobile practically. But if you do get up there, it's unbelievably stunning. But it's just like this roadside low budget motel, and it's wildly popular. People love to go there. Bikers go there in the summertime or whatever, but it has like the neon Terrace Motel flashing. I think that's what it is. I just love all the neon signs.
When we went to Brevard in North Carolina, Caitlin found a room at a hotel that was built in, I think, the 30s or 40s. And it's the same. I mean, the room is huge, but it has that neon sign, just like you're talking about, with the flashing and the animation. And it's really cool. If you've never been to Brevard, they have white squirrels there and good cars. Yeah.
Looks like the show we were talking about last week, Pooch Perfect, with Rebel Wilson, is getting some slack on Twitter. People claiming that all of the stuff being done to the dogs is abuse.
Hmm.
And I guess it kind of falls on those people that think dyeing your dog's, you know, hair to match your purse. Yeah, I could see how that would be
construed. Does it poison the animal?
No, it washes out. I mean, Rebel came up to, you know, come back at him and let him know, you know, all this stuff is, you know, it's washable. The dogs are, you know, by far the thing that, you know, is kept, you know, in the best conditions during these things. And she also brought up, which I wasn't aware, she's from a fourth generation dog shower. So she's had Shih Tzus, and she was a junior shower when she was a kid. She's got like trophies and stuff. So she's been doing it her whole life. Hmm. But yeah, I think it's, I don't think, I thought, I guess that they would assume they would have some pushback. I mean, anytime that you treat an animal, you know, like an object and not an animal, you're going to have some people that take offense to that.
Yeah, you tree horn motherfuckers.
What do you think, Steph?
I think that as long as they use, you know, vegetable food coloring, things like that, if they were going to do dyes, as long as it's not harmful, no chemicals or whatever, I don't think it matters. I mean, a lot of the dogs, they really seem to like this crap. I've known several people who have had little foo-foo dogs, or the dog, they really seem to get into it because they love all the attention that they get from it. I hate dog shows, really, just because of, you know, when you're in rescue, you see all these dogs getting dumped after they've been bred and bred and bred. So I personally don't give a rat's ass about it. I think a mutt's the best dog that ever was.
Yeah, that's true.
The strongest traits of all of the breeds.
They love you the most.
And yeah, I mean, anyway, but I mean, I think all dogs, they're all beautiful. We should just celebrate them and hold them up high.
I want to hug the next dog.
Well, you know, at least they're not, you know, taking the dogs and putting human blood into them and, you know, drawing pentagrams on them and trying to sell them for like $1,100 a piece for a pair.
They sold out in like, what, a minute?
Yeah, I mean, Lil Nas.
What are you talking about, trying to sell Lil Nas X?
Sneakers. Yeah, he's trying, you know, it's funny. The Jesus shoes, which came out, what, last year or year before? you know, you didn't see anybody, you know, bucking on those. Nike wasn't jumping down somebody's throat saying, hey, you guys are doing this, but, you know, you throw this up, especially, I guess, by him, since he had, you know, had all this, you know, huge following before this by a fan base that was not his own. And then to come up with this idea. And I almost think that's the reason he's doing it. I think he's doing it just as a, let me see if I can get away with this.
Yeah, of course he is. Do you think he's really a Satanist? No.
That's the part. Yeah, you would think that all these people that are coming out against it, you know, that's what, you know, all I see is people throwing Bible verses and trying, you know, which it has one on the shoe. And there is a meaning behind what he's doing. I think he's just playing a nation, which hilarious.
Look at a cover of a Motley Crue album from the mid 80s would tell you, either the Pentagram or Judas Priest or any of those bands or Black Sabbath, any of those bands, they all did the same thing and they had the same scrutiny. There just wasn't social media.
Yeah, but it seemed like Nike was having a fit about them putting human blood into it. I'm like, well, you don't care about the Chinese children that put their blood into the shoes when you make them over there.
Or the guy that jumps out of the building when he gets the grommets in incorrectly. Right? He doesn't get his dollar that he made that day.
But you're right. It's something that comes around, you know, what, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, Kiss did the same thing. Yeah. They put blood in their albums when they pressed them.
Kings and Satan service. I mean, that's what my grandfather didn't even know who the hell they were. And he said, Tim, that's Kings and Satan service.
I thought it was Knights and Satan service.
I guess in the Northeast, it was Kings, like Hoagie and Knights and Hoagie and all that shit. But it's stupid. I mean, all it is marketing. You know what? No one's paying attention to Lil Nas X these days, so I'm going to make this ridiculous video. That's all it is. It's all it ever has been. And now that you have social media, everything is amplified. And then people fight about it. And then, it's just the same. Lather, rinse, and repeat with every single fucking issue. Every single fucking issue. Everything. And this is marketing. It's just marketing. And you know what? I listen to the song, and it's actually not a bad song. The guy can, if he's writing it, whoever puts those songs together, they do a great job. And he could have been there dancing like Rick Astley, looking like a dumb fool against the wall in you know, Bugle Boy jeans, or he could put himself getting fucked in the ass by Satan. It's the same thing. It's just marketing.
Aren't we all getting fucked in the ass by Satan?
Getting fucked in the ass by somebody.
If you're wearing Bugle Boy jeans, you definitely are.
Yeah. Well, hey now.
Isn't that a nice loose fit?
I love Bugle Boys. I didn't like the acid wash ones, but I like the, you know, I had those ones that you could flare out and I'd peg them. Mm-hmm.
Tight,
and I put little dimes in my black penny loafers. Give me a
bill. Go to Chess King to get your Bugle Boys.
No, but I did buy. I bought zipper pants at Chess King once that didn't fit me, and I wore them to school once.
Parachute pants, you mean?
Yeah, but they had zippers all over them, and then I had a rubber belt that looked like a clown came on it.
Well, along with, I guess, pulling out, people are getting upset with the shoes that are coming out. They're also pulling some SpongeBob episodes off Paramount Plus.
How could that be bad?
Well, what's funny is the stuff they pulled. They pulled one episode, which was a quarantine episode. So, you know, they thought maybe it might be touchy with the, you know, everything going on in the last year, which I can see that. The other one that they pulled was, what was it?
But when you say it was touchy, why? What was the subject matter of it?
It was just that there was a quarantine in the restaurant where they found that there was a virus in the restaurant. And so they locked everyone that was in the restaurant together. And then it was them just, you know, basically, setting through quarantine for days and days and days and going crazy. And they, I guess they thought it was bad form with everything that was going on.
I think that's good for kids. Wouldn't kids like that? Be like, yeah, this is exactly the bullshit we've been dealing with.
I think we as kids would have appreciated the satire. Kids today doesn't know what satire is.
Yeah, they don't understand it.
So literal.
Yeah, so they would take it literally. Yeah, but the other one was I thought a little strange. It was about It was called Midlife Crustacean, and they
sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. The episode was about SpongeBob and Patrick have to sneak and Squidward sneak into a lady's house to steal her underwear.
Oh,
That was the plot of the episode. So they determined that some story elements were not kid appropriate.
Okay,
so, a Nickelodeon.
You never watched that fucking show. Stoners watch that show.
That's true. It really has. It's really kind of jumped the shark for kids, I think. I don't think they care about it anymore.
Now they put out the was that last movie, and it didn't really do anything.
Like that Tom and Jerry movie. What kid was clamoring? Can we go get out of the pandemic to go see this movie about a cat and a mouse? I have no idea who they are. Unless, you know, the dad is a collector of shit like that. I mean, we know Tom and Jerry because we grew up with Tom and Jerry. How would these kids know Tom and Jerry?
I don't think they had to know. I think they just saw it as another kid's movie, but.
They fight and fight.
I'm going to say what probably one of the most popular for like the 8 to 11 year olds. I love that Amazing World of Gumball, which I like that show. It's a funny show.
And then there's this other thing, Five Nights at Freddy's. I don't know what the hell any of that is, but that's super popular, right?
Yeah. And then I mean,
it's disgusting.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's, and yeah, it's pretty much everything from that Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what they based it. That's why those movies like that have gotten made over the last couple of years, because they're trying to emulate that Five Nights at Freddy's game, which is, you know, it's one of those horror games where you're trapped in a building, a dark building, and those things are coming after you.
Okay.
All right. Kids are all into that.
Any more stories?
Yeah. The guy that did, this King Kong versus Godzilla, he's been handed his next mission, and it looks like it's going to be to make a Thundercats live action movie.
That's cool.
So we'll see. I mean, I'm not really doing it right now, but give me a year. No, I love the Thundercats. That's probably the problem, because I wasn't impressed with Godzilla versus King Kong. So
I'm assuming they'll just get all old celebrities because they all look like Thundercats now.
Here's Madonna.
That's what I'm saying.
She looked horrible. She released some picture this week with her.
No,
honey. Mm-mm. You're talented as fuck. Or
as long as I don't get the computer graphics company that made those CGI cats for the Cats movie, I think we'll be all right.
I've never seen that.
Ones with the cat, little cat CGI buttholes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Get out of here. All right. So I guess, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. See, just a couple of headlines that I saw in the news that Jeff, when you guys put in there. Bob Odenkirk says we shouldn't assume Kim is dead in Breaking Bad. I think we all reached that conclusion. This is interesting to me. Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson are resurrecting Saw. That sounds cool to me. I love that franchise.
I saw the trailer yesterday.
What did you think of it?
Spiral.
Yeah, Spiral's the name of it. I don't know. I thought it was...
is it Jigsaw or someone else?
It looks like they're taking an amalgam. I mean, it's not almost like a reboot. It's almost like a continuation, because they mention it's Jigsaw, and they mention that, you know, things that happened in the past. And then they show a few scenes, you know, one where Chris Rock has a saw in his hand and he's handcuffed to a wall. Mm. So, hopefully it's, those movies got really weird after the second or third one. Sequels do, but
this one, I mean, this one seems like, and from what I read too, is they're taking more of a Fincher approach to it, more of a Seven approach to it, because Jigsaw is targeting cops, so he's like basically serial killing cops.
This one happens in a police station.
Who is the main place. To play a motherfucking game?
Would you like to play a game?
When does it come out?
Or syrup?
Yeah. I prefer syrup. That album is still one of the best comedy albums of the 20th century, 21st century. Such a good album. When did it come out? Maybe 99. I don't know. But that comedy album that Chris Rock did with.
Does it Bring the Pain?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. OJ, I understand.
Michael Scott got in trouble for reciting it at the office.
Oh, what was he reciting?
It's the Chris Rock album.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Speaking of, though, did you see this week where the Asian ladies that played in the Benihana episode, they came out and said that they felt like they were treated like
the Benihana episode of what?
Of The Office. You never watched The Office, so you don't.
Because they said they looked alike. The two ladies looked.
Yeah, like, and that they felt like they weren't like people. They weren't treated like people. They weren't portrayed as people. And the whole point was that Michael was an absolute imbecile,
right?
And he was completely politically incorrect. And you're cringing through the whole episode on purpose. It was written that way, right. And it's like 15 years later, 16 years later. I'm just like, I fucking hate our time. I hate the time that we live in.
Peacock, remove it yet?
No, not yet.
I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure because it caused spa shootings.
Yeah.
It's too much information. It's too much information for people. They should have like I always felt they should have like a age limit on the internet. Like you can 16 you can drive, 18 you can vote, 18 you can get on, 20 you can get on the internet.
And then when you're 60, you're off. Because
yeah, you're done. Yeah.
Donald Trump is going to be president in August. You'll see.
This week, I finally learned how to do that Mike Lindell, the guy that started the MyPillow company. What a nut he is. Huh?
Oh, you're going to do his voice?
No, because my throat hurts.
He just started smoking crack. That's what he means.
Yeah. That's why my throat hurts. Boy, that stuff is harsh. Speaking of crack, season three episodes in now of Snowfall.
The best crap, show that I caught up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Three's the best. Three's so good.
I can tell because Franklin's got his nuts, man. He ain't gonna let anybody fuck with him. I love all the characters. It's a great show, and I'm sorry I sat on it, but at least I get to experience it now.
Yeah, no. How much do you love Uncle Jerome, though? That's all I want to say.
Love Uncle Jerome. I love
Uncle Jerome.
Great.
Didn't you see what I'm saying? Is they should have got him to play Spawn. Why not get him to play Spawn?
Dude, hell yeah.
He would have been awesome. Anyway,
I love all the characters, and I'm really liking Fatback. I can't wait to see what happens to him in season 5.
He's the best, man. He's so featured so hard in season 4.
Yeah.
He's a star, cool. Man.
Awesome. So he's going to return in season 5. I can't wait. I can't wait to get caught up. Steph, and thank you for the news, Dustin. Steph, tell us about Barkville.org.
Holy crap. Yes. So we actually have something going on this coming Sunday. Now, I know it's Easter Sunday, but, maybe some of you guys are heathens and you don't go to church like me. And if you don't, maybe you might want to go check out some of our adoptable pups. They're going to be at the Brooklyn Bagel Bakery this Sunday from 9:30 to 1. And that's on Haynesbridge Road in Johns Creek. Mm-hmm. So you come, have some bagels, meet some of our dogs, talk to our volunteers, just whatever. And you could also buy some raffle tickets if you wanted to. I know Tim put it in the show notes, but if you'd like to buy some raffle tickets for some very cool prizes, go to barkvilleraffle.charityraffles.org. It really helps all of our, endeavors. We need money for all of the pups that we pulled this week. We got a dog right now who was mangled in a car accident and the owner couldn't afford to do anything for him. So he was just going to put him down. And we were like, no, we'll take him. We'll pay the thousands. We'll get him fixed up. It's a young dog. So this is the kind of stuff that we do. And so you can donate to us at barkvilledogrescue.org.
Woof. Thank you. And thank barkvilledogrescue.org. Jeff?
What?
Jeff, you usually say keep it canine.
Oh, yeah. Keep it canine.
Thank you. All right, guys, this has been fun. I'm glad we had a good discussion about King Kong versus Kong. I always want to say King Kong first because I like him better than Godzilla. I always did. Godzilla versus King Kong, which we have two thumbs up, one thumbs down, and one thumb up her ass while she's waiting to watch the movie.
I don't know if I'm going to watch it now.
Yeah, you don't need to.
I think I'm just going to watch Unhinged now that it's on Prime.
Unhinged? Tell me. What is
it? Russell Crowe, where he's... he's lost it. He's just taken out. He just
Falling Down Part 2 with Russell Crowe.
Yes, but more violent.
More violent. I ordered breakfast. Can I get some breakfast? Just go make me some fucking breakfast. To work on that one. And if you're going to hear the Mike Lindell, when I started my pillow, I started smoking crack and I filled the pillow up with crack. And when you lay down in a bed of crack, you get a good night's sleep while staying awake at the same time. Also, Donald Trump will be president. I have all the evidence in this can full of pencil shavings. See, all those pencil shavings in this Cafe Bustelo can lead me to determine that Donald Trump will assume office in August. So stay tuned. There was nothing but election fraud. And to all you algorithms out there, this is parody and we don't really believe it. So shut the fuck up and leave us alone. And if you want some cracker or my pillow, just go to crackinmypillow.org. That's simple, close enough. Close enough. All right, guys. Thanks for listening and enjoy your weekends and or your weekends. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy every weekend. So that would be weekends.
Happy Easter, y'all.
Yeah. Happy Easter. Hey, Peter Cottontail, you come down my trail. You're going to be leaving with a foot up your asshole. And if you're out there and you bought your kid a rabbit or a duck for Easter, they don't care about the duck or the rabbit about a day later. So you just, you know, condemn that poor animal to a life of misery. You're an asshole. No, send it to me. We'll cook them up. Anyway, until next week, please remember to keep it canon. Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms. Starting off with the general managers, and those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are the, they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us longer. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I got a shirt. No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the. No, I'm kidding. I don't want the red. I don't want the red box troll doll. I want him to have it. But now our program directors. Those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall. From April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018, and John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number 5 on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know, what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.